Let me bang you.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, man.
I let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Adam Hunter. So you got two this week. One of my favorite people. I saw you last night for like 3 seconds at the HaHa. You were on stage, but I had my daughter with me. It was like 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night because I was just coming home from the dime.
So that's what I was wondering about. I was like, is he going to try and do the thing first and then the dime? Or is he going to try to do the dime first and swing by the club?
Yeah. Well, I found out about the party like last minute.
Everybody did. They planned it last minute. Apparently, Jack Jr. was like, thank you guys so much. We planned this 2 days ago. And it's like, oh, there you go. Like, sounds right.
So, but I saw you killing on stage. But you were, what, giving Terry a big send-off or something? Or happy birthday? Or, like, what were you doing?
Yeah, it was a happy birthday. We were talking. In fact, I let off the night. But then I did another thing later. So, if you heard the first one, everyone was just, you know, sharing some funny Terry moment. For those of you who don't know, Terry Asadorian. Terry Santi Esteban Asadorian is the co-owner of the HaHa, which we play quite regularly here in Los Angeles. And they're one of those, every club in LA kind of has its own crew. It's established guys that they're like, these are the guys that you're probably going to see here every time. And for us, it's oftentimes the HaHa, which has been my home club since I got here. And, you know, in fact, because they put me up so much, it's probably one of the reasons I don't work the other clubs more often, because I just go where I'm wanted. So, Terry, it's her birthday. We're having this party. So, I was just sharing some of the weird, everyone was getting up, sharing fun memories. And, of course, mine, I was like, my favorite version of Terry is cock blocker Terry. Because, because Terry doesn't want anyone else to get laid. She doesn't want anyone. She likes to believe that we just want to do comedy for comedy's sake or whatever. So, she's always like, no, Greg, don't do it, Greg. So and of course everyone's fucking everywhere all the time. And of course the leader of the pack, Video Shauna, was just, you know, he fucked every, and I was telling the story about one of the funniest times was, you know, any new waitress, you knew Vinny was going to fuck her. If she was halfway attractive, within the first week, Vinny was going to fuck her. So we're there, and it's a new waitress. Sure enough, Vinny's all over her. He fucking crushes. He's like, hey, you know, what are we even doing? You know, and she's like, yeah. So they end up leaving. They're going to go to that bar. Remember the old HaHa? There was that bar that was across the street that was like kind of that dark little seedy nightclub.
Like the Federal place?
No, it wasn't the Federal. It was called something else. But anyways, so I see him crossing over to that bar, and Terry's like, where is the waitress? And I'm like, she just left. And she goes, where is Vinny? I'm like, she left with Vinny. And she goes, no! And she runs outside and she sees them crossing the street. She throws open the door. She's chasing after him going, no, Vinny, no! No more HaHa Cafe for you!
No way, really?
Yes. And of course, it didn't stop Vinny for one fucking second. He absolutely just disappeared into the club with her and went bananas. So
I tell people, like rule number one, don't bang the wait staff, because a lot of times you do a club on the road, you bang the waitress and then she's banging the manager afterwards, and then you can't play that club anymore, you know, because they want you there. But I remember one time I was in Hollywood at a club and I had, you know, I banged the waitress and I like didn't call her. I forgot what happened. I didn't call her. And then
I forgot what happened. I didn't call her. All right,
I forgot why I didn't call her.
It's been a while. You can just admit it.
I had a reason to not call her. She was something happened, right? But then I'm on stage. She stands in front of the stage, like this.
So you had sex with this girl?
So like my whole set, she's just like that. I got, you know,
just mean mugging you from the front of the stage.
Not even waiting tables. Literally,
right?
Like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And it was it was like a showcase for a TV show.
Perfect. Of course it was.
For White Boys in the Hood. Which I ended up getting, but my God, that was fucking ridiculous. Yeah.
I, yes. It, it, it's bad to fuck a waitress on the road, but that is better because you're only going to see her once or twice a year. Although you do make your money there, and you don't want to shit where you eat. Right. But the worst place to do it is at the City Club, where you go 2-3 times a week.
Oh yeah.
And now she's there, and she's bad. She's there 5-6 times a week, fucking bad mouthing you the entire time because you fucking dicked her over. Do not fuck the waitress at your home club. Just don't do it. Now, that being said, every comic thinks they're the exception to the rule.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was a comic in West Virginia who was a strong...
Us included.
This comic I knew was a strong feature. He could have had a career, and then he banged this waitress in West Virginia at the Funny Bone, got her pregnant, and when I came back to the club, he was working as a chef there. Which is nice that he was taking care of his kid, but
for any aspiring comedians out there, let me just tell you something that I usually only say in my workshops, and that's... There are two major pitfalls to a career in the arts. Number one is getting married, and number two is having children. Now, I'm not saying you can't do those things. I'm saying you need to wait till you're a professional at the craft so that it's your job. You have to do that to make money. Because if you don't, a marriage, you might find a good one. She supports you. She wants to do it. But kids are dream killers. Okay. They just are, because then you got to just, it's all about the kid. You got it now. Again, you're a pro. You made it. You made it over the hump. Now you can have kids. Now you can do those things because you make your money doing your craft. If you do those things before you are a full-time professional, the chance of you becoming a professional become exponentially more difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I see it. I mean, to me, to be honest, since I've had my kid, my career has been, I would say better than it's ever been in a lot of ways. I mean, maybe Last Comic Standing was bigger at that particular time, when I was on TV.
No, but again, you're a professional. You have to do that.
It's the biggest motivator in the world. Nothing Absolutely. More motivating. I mean, sure. Nothing more motivating. I mean,
but imagine you weren't a pro and you didn't have clubs that you booked every weekend and you weren't making headliner money. You were trying to get by on guest spot and feature money. And now you have a kid. Do you think you'd be able to live in that house? Do you think you'd be able to continue performing as often as you do?
No.
No. Not a chance. Not a prayer.
No. So, Sean, meanwhile, how are you, McCorkle?
Doing all right, man. It's interesting you guys say that. My dad always begged me as a kid to not get married till I was 30. He said, you can be a teenager till you're 30. If you don't get married or have kids, like, enjoy your life. But once you get married and have kids, you have responsibility and you have to provide for him. And of course I didn't listen to him, got married at 19, even though she wasn't pregnant. There was no reason to get married that early.
Genius.
But, yeah. Got married that early. And I wouldn't say unmotivated, but like most 19-year-olds, like, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do in my life or didn't know where I was going. But as soon as I found out she was pregnant when I was 22, just like Greg was saying, Adam was saying, the pressure I felt to make sure my kid could go to private schools or she could go to Disney World or she could have what she wanted. I worked 80 hours a week I ran my business. Like, I really got serious about it then, whereas before, when I was 19, just married, and I was working, doing my own thing. She was working. It wasn't that big a deal. But yeah, the minute I found out she had, that was the biggest motivator. That's kind of what I struggle with now. Not that I'm super financially secure, but it's kind of like, my kids are grown, or whatever. My bills are paid. My girlfriend has a really good job, makes decent money. I was able to clear a lot of money on my last house I sold. So it's actually a bad way to not have sometimes that pressure on you. Because to me, tomorrow is always a better way to start. It's kind of like if you're unhealthy, like fat and out of shape. And then if the doctor keeps saying, your numbers are good, everything looks good, then there's what motivation is there to do that? But then the day they tell you, oh, by the way, you're going to lose a foot if you don't start eating healthy, then all of a sudden, like, maybe I will start eating that salad instead of that cheeseburger, So sometimes that, like, I assume, Greg, when you had that heart attack, I don't know exactly what caused it, but probably when you found out Brendan Schaub was releasing a second comedy special, because I almost had one. But I'm sure it changed and motivated some of the things you do, too, like when you come that close to realizing.
Oh, without question. Yeah. And what I'm talking about is related to that motivation, not that it isn't real, but that it's so real, you have to stop doing this craft that makes you no money yet.
Right.
And do something that makes you a real money now, which is not, like he said, now he's the cook. Now he's the chef. Why? Because the chef's making real money. He gets a regular check. He can take care of his kids. The comedian guy was making $400 a week. You know, and so you're right. That's what I'm saying. If you're a decent human being, you will prioritize that child over your dream because it ain't making no money yet. And it becomes something, because I see it a lot teaching. You have two kinds of people. You have people in your 20s, and then you have people in your 50s. Okay? People that haven't had kids, and people whose kids just left the house, and now they can do what they want again. That's what you see, you know? Right.
Yeah. Speaking of kids, so crazy story. So I was coaching, I coach in wrestling, which is like my 15th year coaching. And so many times I'm like, why am I doing this? Why? It's like an hour drive, an hour drive back.
That's how I feel about this podcast.
You don't have to drive anywhere. And then I'm making $25 a day. It's like, it just doesn't even cover the gas, I'm like, I'm doing it because I just love the sport. And I love giving back. And I feel like I'm doing something good in my life. And it keeps me young. All right. So those are the good, right? Then there are times, right? So there's this kid that we have that was doing jujitsu. He came from a jujitsu background. So right away, he's pulling guard. Wrestling is the worst thing you can do is jump to your back.
Right.
And so he's jumping to his back. And I'm like, okay, we don't want to do that, And then teaching him. And then he starts choking kids. Like he's losing anyway, even when he's not jumping his back. And he throws it at a guillotine, right? So after like the third time this happened, I was like, because we had one kid, I wasn't looking. I look over, some kid's grabbing his neck, rolling around. Like he just got out. And I'm like, what happened? And the other coach is like, I think that kid choked him. And so I say to him, like, hey, man, if you do this again, you can't be on the team. With no choking. And he had that smile. He gave me a smirk.
Like,
I'm a badass. That's like, I'm hurting kids. So then I'm on a cruise. So I got I got two assistant coaches, right? And I got an email saying, like, we have to talk to, this kid because a couple of the girls on the team said he made him feel uncomfortable. He was like winking at them and like making faces. So then
this kid sounds awesome, by the way.
I was about to say, so you had McCorkle in there?
Yeah, this kid.
Totally. He's such a McCorkle. Like, rules. Got it. You guys heard him because those are for you.
So right away, I go to my athletic director and say, hey, listen, can you talk to, let's call him Nicholas. Can you talk to Nicholas because, he's choking kids and now he's making girls feel uncomfortable.
Why do I feel like his actual name is Nicholas?
It's not.
Sorry, go ahead. let's call him by his name. Okay.
No, so right now I get the parents, but what exactly did he say? And I'm doing all this in the bottom of a ship, right? Literally like on the bottom of, I'm in Jamaica, bottom of a
brutal.
Ship.
Brutal.
Like, hey, what did he say to the girls? Copy. So then the parents come to the practice. On Monday, right? So they come to practice, they watch the whole thing, and they come up to me afterwards. They're like, well, what did our kid say? I'm like, well, he put a kid in a guillotine. I kind of let it go. Maybe it was muscle memory, jiu-jitsu, and he just got, But then I had girls complain. At that point, I have to tell my superior guy, and he doesn't listen, whatever I say. So the right away, the mom, he has ADHD. Right. So he has ADHD. Okay. And then what? They're like, the mom's like, what? He can't try to talk to girls, boys and girls. They talk to each other. They flirt. I go, maybe if it was a nightclub or something, but this is a wrestling team. And then it was like, I go, and if he does this again, I can't have him on the team. So you're going to give up on him? You're going to give up on my kid because he has ADHD? And just start screaming at me. Right. Fucking so right away I'm like, this conversation is over. Well, what do you mean it's over? Well, who are you? What, you the big shot? You think you have power? And I feel like saying, look, I'm not part of LA Unified. Like, I don't have to take your shit. Like, I'm literally a volunteer. This is after I get paid. I go, well, give me your money back. I don't have to listen to this. Like, if I was a teacher, maybe I would, but I'm not even a real teacher here. So I don't have to listen to any of this. So I'm like, well, give the kid the money. She goes, no, I'm going to make this go viral and I'm going to have your name and I'm going to make a video about you and I'm going to put it on YouTube and I'm going to ruin your whole program. So it'll be shut down. I go, first of all, my wife will thank you if that happens. you have no idea. Probably the best thing for my career at this point. You'll save
me. If you can make me go viral, you will be doing me a huge favor.
Okay, here's my tags. This is my name. Make sure you
spell. Yeah.
So then I walk away, and the other guy comes, the guy in charge, starts screaming at him. She goes, "That coach is a psychopath. She called me a psychopath.
Because that's what she is. That's what everybody else out. They just blame you for being whatever they are.
I mean, so yeah, this is what I'm dealing with right now. Am I even allowed to talk about this? I am, right? Free speech. What are they gonna? Sean, what would you do in this situation?
And actually, it's funny. It reminds me of my kids went to a little private school here, and my sons and nephews were on the basketball team. First, I mean, it was like a movie Hoosiers, like first high school with under 100 kids to be playing for a state championship, just crazy, you know, like before COVID ruined their season as the tournament started. But they were getting ready to play Team Center Grove. This Team Center Grove is it's a public school, but 5,000 kids there. Like, I mean, just a massive school every year wins the football state title, wins everything. So
three or four
of the former guys who didn't make the team at Center Grove are now playing at the small school and starting for them. So it's like all kind of back and forth going. And one of the head coach of that team said something that irritated me. I don't remember what it was. So I started roasting him on Twitter. And I mean, just devastating him. And then Center Grove parents from that school and alumni start calling my kid's school, wanting me fired, but I don't work at my kid's school. Like, they don't realize what's going on. Like, they think that I'm a teacher or I'm assistant basketball coach, or like, he shouldn't be coaching. They're like, oh, he's not, his son's just on the team. Like, you should remove his son from the team. Like, I can't remove his son from the team for roasting you on Twitter. That's not the way it works, you know? Because it's I looked up, but you know how I am. Just started devastating him online, like just completely destroying him. So long story short, he ended up apologizing to me at the end of the season for me roasting him a bunch. And that was all just because like he wanted it to stop.
My parents said, I'm going to have to apologize to the kid. I'm like, I'm going to apologize to the kid for choking kids and having girls feel uncomfortable. But I'm going to go, hey, I'm sorry. They're like, you should have talked to the kid first and not the athletic director. I'm like, I wasn't even in the country, number one. Number two, no, I don't. And number three, my job is not to fight with parents. As soon as you start screaming at me, this conversation is over. That's like way above my pay grade. But Greg, you think I'm doing the right? What would you do if you were me?
I think you did the best option that you had, which was just walk away. Although I would have recommended pulling out my phone and making a video of her, you know, going bananas. Yeah. You're like, he's psycho. And then just turn around and you're like, you know, and then just put it back on her. That would have been the ultimate play. But I understand our generation doesn't think like Gen Z and most of the millennials do, which is pull out your phone. They think that anything happens, they know, bam, phone's out, video's on. I don't think that way. We're Gen X. So I, 5 minutes later, I'm like, oh, I wish
dealing with the parent, obviously, it's the kid. It's one of these parents that just like,
what are you going to do? Engage her? It's only going to make it worse. The only thing you could do is be like, I'm done, and let her go bananas and everything. Because what she wants is she wants to bait you into a screaming match that makes her look validated.
What I said. I call my boss. I go, listen, before I did something to get myself fired by saying something to her that I didn't want to say. I walked away.
Just go.
And the guy was like, Adam, you can't get fired. He's like,
you're a volunteer.
But also,
you should have offered her a spot on the team and then made her run laps. That would have been awesome. Like, you know what? You can be on the team too. Now, take off running. But no, parents with their sportsmen are out of their minds. We found out that same team I was talking about. We found out there's this kid that kept playing and he was playing in front of my son and I couldn't figure out why. And so I let it go all season long. Like, my son gets in and scores 10 points in 3 minutes and doesn't play for two games after that. Like, he's not getting any time. And the kid that's in his position playing all the time finds out. I found this out because I broke into the coach's email. I guess his password, which was unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
Like, it's unbelievable. It's an unbelievable thing when you guess someone's password by using their wife's name and a number. It's like the best thing ever. So broke into his email, found a letter where he was being blackmailed by the kid's dad because he had broken off-season recruiting rules for high school and practice rules. And he was like, you better start playing my son or I'm going to turn this into the IHSAA. You're going to lose your job, all this and that. So then I had to confront the coach and asked him, I just feel like the playing time, like, it's almost like you're being blackmailed. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about, blah, blah, blah. I said, really, what's this? I handed him the email printed out from his own email. With the blackmail on it. And then he asked me how many minutes a game is going to be enough for my son. And I said, no, I don't even want you to play in this game. I'm not trying to blackmail you also. I'm just telling you, you better start being fair or you're going to lose your job.
That's funny. So, my dad was our little league coach, and there was a kid, Italian kid, who he didn't start, and he got a a letter in the mail, because no email back then, saying, if you don't start my kid, you wake up in the fucking train track, signed like Mr. Lorenzo. And so he played him. It was my dad's friend who wrote that as a fucking joke.
That's awesome. Who cut off the horse's head and put it in the mailbox? That's what I want to know.
I just want everyone listening to this show to remember, if you attack this show, Sean McCorkle's out there. And he is reading the comments. I'm not.
He's got a lot of time on his hands.
Exactly. He made a lot of money selling his last house. He's unmotivated. He has nothing better to do. So I'm just telling you now. You want to dang it up?
Sean McCorkle's some good advice.
So my dad actually got fired from the kicked out of the league because they thought he was betting on the games. As a Lily coach, because my dad figured out that like if we lost to a certain team, we had a better shot of beating the next team. Like it was like one of those things. Like the
playoffs. So he was fixing games. Yeah, he wasn't betting on games.
No, yeah,
much different.
No, but they thought
much different.
But they knew he was a gambler. My dad, so they thought he was fixing the games and then betting. And I don't know. So
that's amazing.
So he was though. He was trying to lose on purpose.
Like, maybe it was all those cash transactions from the dugout. Maybe that tipped him off.
He was playing the worst kids to lose on purpose.
Yeah, and he's giving the other kids fucking money and shit, telling them to shut up. And
Greg, I don't know if I ever told you or Adam told you, but every my dad died like 4 years ago, and every time Adam's dad posts anything or Adam posts anything about his dad, I try to spoil it by saying, man, must be nice to have a dad to spend Father's Day with, like on Facebook.
On my dad's birthday, bro. My dad.
I know. I've seen that. And I think you may have posted that on one of my things, too, at some point. I believe I've seen that. Oh, it must be nice to have someone who loves, you know, and I'm like, oh, yeah. McCorkle.
Well, the other day, Adam's dad posted a video or a picture of him and I guess his wife or girlfriend, like 10 or 15 years together, whatever's the anniversary thing. And I was like, man, it must be nice, because Adam said congrats, and I commented on Adam saying, must be nice to have a dad to congratulate on his anniversary with his, you know, lady of 10 years or whatever, something like that. But yeah,
pure
joy anytime I get a chance to bring that up and take the mood down a little bit.
Oh, it's so funny. Like, I remember my dad, I'll tell my wife, I remember my dad when he got divorced, like a week later, me and my friend, we were 17. Dad comes in drunk and he's like, hey, watch this. And he orders my stepmom, who he just got divorced from, 37 pizzas in front of us.
I have to ask, McCorkle, are you working on your book, What Not to Do? Because every week, these are gems.
That was my dad who did that, not McCorkle.
No, but I mean, everything he's saying, all this, bringing the mood down, ruining your fucking dad's birthday and shit. This is classic What Not to Do McCorkle.
What's funny is that my wife finds McCorkle the funniest. Like, she listens to McCorkle's parts of the podcast. Like, the one where Elias died and McCorkle's tribute was about Brendan Schaub sucking. Or, literally, it was like...
That's because you and I, Adam, are stupidly trying to do an MMA podcast. And McCorkle... is just trying to fuck. He's just trying to wreck shop. He's just wrecking shop. That's all. I'm just listening all the time. I'm like, God damn it. McCorkle is the funniest one on this goddamn podcast.
Easily the funniest. Easily.
Easily.
So, by the way, speaking of MMA, Chael Sonnen is fighting Tito Ortiz again.
Is that real? I thought that was a joke.
No, it's happening in March under a new promotion.
Is it going to be at sea? Is it going to be?
Well, it's Bellator, so no.
Is it going to be on a platform hovering just out of international laws, like above in the air, the stratosphere? What is that? Why would we do this? How would?
It's for the affliction belt. No, it like legitimately is happening for some reason. I mean, obviously, I'm sure Chael spends a lot of money on his legal fees. You know, he makes tons of money though. I mean, he had an elevator in his house fucking 20 years ago.
Bellator, how do they pick these fights?
It's not Bellator though. They're fighting.
I thought McCorkle said it was Bellator.
No, I just said because it won't be seen. They won't be advertised or seen. I was like, oh, it must be Bellator then.
Oh, okay. I thought a weak joke.
Sorry.
Well, I rescind what I said about you being the funniest.
No,
what
no.
Were you,
I blew it.
It only takes one strike to lose the title. So what is this like? Yeah, I mean, what is this, their own promotion? Did they just decide? Are they just renting a garage? Is it a storage unit in Reseda that they're like, we're putting on a show? I mean,
but yeah, no, it's going to happen, but it's, I forgot the name of the promotion. It's like some type of weird name that I like heard.
Is it in Back to the Future 4? Do you know why save the future?
I absolutely love Kale, but one thing that kind of cracks me up about him is that he can turn any story into that he promised someone who was dying that he was going to do that before they died, you know, or whatever. So like he was talking about a fight with Tito Ortiz when he does the original one. And I don't remember who he said he promised, but it's like, I promised him on his deathbed, I was going to beat Tito, you know, or whatever. And I was like, dude, you talked to that's you were talking about when you were in college, you promised him that 25 years later, you would beat Tito in an MMA match in someone's last hours. Like that's weird, you know, or whatever. Like, but
so funny, dude, he is so funny. So yes,
I think he just drives by hospitals and says stuff like that.
Right,
he just drives outside. I promise I'll beat Tito.
So it's gonna happen for Freedom Fight Night. That's the name of the organization.
Freedom, sure.
Can you imagine when they were naming that company? They're like, should we go with Fascist Fight Night? Should we go with Communist? No, let's go Freedom Fight Night.
Whatever it is, not Socialism Fight Night.
Right. But yeah, certainly.
Hopefully it'll be Free Fight Night because I don't know who else. But yeah, so it's Freedom Fight Night.
It'll be Free Fight Night on my phone if Adam sends you the link. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's happening. Also, they're saying that Nate Diaz is going to box Mayweather.
God.
Well, that didn't take long.
That's rumor. That's a rumor going out there. Nate Diaz. I mean, good for Nate Diaz. I hope he gets $100 million for that.
I hope he gets $5 million of the $100 million he's promised because he still hasn't even paid Logan Paul. You've heard that, right? Paul still doesn't have his money from boxing Mayweather.
So, yeah,
I don't know how this dude's amazed me. I don't know how he gets away with ripping people off for tens of millions of dollars and then people just keep like signing up with him. Like, just the promise of it. Like, I don't get it, man. Like,
I wonder who else does that. Anyways. These fights, when he said he was going to take on and you know, take over a new division, I realize now that he was talking about a division that doesn't exist.
Right.
If you just make up, you know, me versus Mayweather, you know, I'm going to win the whatever division that we made this, you know, like, are they even going to have a weigh-in? Does it even matter? You know?
Well, I told you that, on the undercard of, Jake Paul versus Anderson Silva. It's Le'Veon Bell. Is that how you say it? Le'Veon?
Yeah, Le'Veon.
Yeah.
Oh, Le'Veon Bell is fighting Uriah Hall.
That's unbelievable that can even get sanctioned to me, man. Is that on like an Indian reservation where they don't have to have sanctioning or whatever? Like, I can't believe you take a guy with one amateur fight. Oh, wait, are they boxing or fighting?
Boxing.
Oh, boxing. Okay, so it may be an amateur exhibition. Okay, I thought you meant the MMA fight. Still completely unfair, but yeah,
isn't he the one that? No, Adrian Peterson got knocked out by him. Was that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's got to be feeling himself. He's like, I mean, I'm ready to go again.
I know.
So who's he fighting? Wait a minute. Who's he fighting?
Uriah Hall.
Uh oh. He's an actual fighter.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. Yeah.
That's going to be bad. Uriah Hall's going to knock him the fuck out.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been gun shy, but still,
he's a little bit like Tyron Woodley. Like, he fights to the level of his competition. Like, you could put Woodley in with a 12-year-old right now, and I'm not sure that Woodley would be able to pull out the victory because he only fights as well as whoever he's fighting. If he's fighting a world champion fighter, he can hang in there. If he's fighting Jake Paul, he can't throw a punch. Like, I didn't believe those fights were set up, but I'll tell you what, the more I watch it and think about the improbability of Tyron Woodley losing to Jake Paul, like, is twice as crazy to me, man. Like as good as, I don't know.
And it looked fully and completely rigged.
So I don't know if you guys have watched a new professional wrestling. I want to show you guys this clip. I'll set it up.
We got to get a little tighter with professional as a descriptor. All right,
so in wrestling, this is a new clip of the guy wrestling a dog. I'll show you guys.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, you mean a professional wrestling dog.
Here, I'll show you guys what happened. So here's the dog.
Oh my God, we've done it. We've become it. This is and the dog doesn't even know where he is. He's like, where are the treats? Look, the trainer has to get in the ring and be like, attack that guy, and then he falls down.
Oh
You know what? You were. I was wrong. This is professional. Professional grade shit. This is technically
new. I noticed the dog is looking to the crowd for his approval, whether he's determining that or not. I noticed the dog was looking around like, should I pin him? Should I not? I'm confused, man. Like,
and here's the other thing. That guy getting beat by the dog was in very good shape. And I'm like, yeah. You can't have worked out that hard your whole life to do this. Wouldn't you rather be a bouncer at a nightclub than put on a unitard and get beat by a dog?
Dog, what are your thoughts about that clip?
Dude, I don't know. I wonder what they paid the dog, because I've got a few dogs here I'd put in with that guy anytime they want him, man. That's I wonder if the dog will fight Jake Paul. That'll be his next opponent. Like,
oh my! Listen, I'm putting my money on that dog. The way they whip that other guy's ass.
Did you guys ever see the pro wrestling match where, I think it was in Japan, Japanese guy reaches out and grabs the other pro wrestler's dick, and the pro wrestler is able to hurt his arm and put him in an arm lock just with his crotch. And like by flexing his crotch, and he's able to flip the guy with his dick. It's the greatest pro wrestling.
That guy got me too. I think there was that guy that he was going around with his dick. Like, and that was his big thing, right? He had like the dick that like would make people like flip and all stuff. Turns out he was making a lot of girls grab his dick, I guess, off stage or something. And
that's your thing. I mean,
so he got in big trouble, that guy.
By the way, newsflash just came across the screen. The trainer of that dog wrestler has been Me Too'd for grooming the dog.
That's a really good joke. God, I can't believe Greg beat me to it. I'm actually disappointed in myself.
Pat Barry's very nervous right now. Pat Barry's next. That's what's going on. This week in MMA news, there's a UFC fight. Are you guys excited about this fight?
Yes.
I don't even know. I mean, which one is it?
It's Alexa Grasso versus Vivian Araújo.
Finally.
Oh my God. Thank you for saying it for all of us, McCorkle. You know, I was just the other day, we were talking MMA with a friend, and I was like, you know who I want to see? Somebody Grasso versus Vivian can't pronounce. If we could get those two, oh my God, what a night.
Well, Alexa Grasso has won like three fights in a row. She's actually, I guess the winner of this fight is going to fight Shevchenko next, who I thought was like, I think Shevchenko, her last fight, I thought she kind of lost, or it was a draw. I thought she lost her last fight.
I think she won the last one, but won like three right in a row before that, or two before that. But I think she won the last one.
No, I'm saying I thought Shevchenko lost her last fight. Shevchenko fought.
That's somebody. What I'm talking about. Didn't she win her last? No, the sister won.
No, she got the one. She got the win, but it was very close. Like, I thought.
Okay. Oh, you're saying you thought in that fight she lost.
Yeah.
Okay. So, now I see what you're saying.
So I don't understand why she wouldn't get a rematch against that other girl. But yeah, so Vivian Araújo, 11-3. Alexa Grasso. Cub Swanson is moving down to 135 for the first time in his career, which is crazy because he's like 80. But he's fighting Jonathan Martinez.
I love the way those two factors are unrelated. He's going down to 135, which is crazy because he just hit retirement age. So that kind of weight usually means you need to get your colon checked.
I hope Cub wins. I love Cub. Great dude. Brandon Royval, who's a super good fighter. He's fighting Askarov, who also a very tough guy. Jordan Wright, who's the Beverly Hills Ninja.
We got to find a guy named William Williamson to fight Askar Askarov.
Magomedov or something. That's
yeah, sure. Magomed Magomedov, one of those guys versus Askar Askarov. That'd be great.
Alonzo,
I'm sure you guys didn't see it, but on Shab's show the other day, he was saying that Curtis Blades, he was talking about him, and he was like, yeah, he cuts people up with his elbows. That's why his nickname is Blades. And he goes, plus, you know, it rhymes with his last name. And so, like, it was like, wait a minute, because it's Curtis Razor Blades, not Curtis Blades Blades. So, I was cracking up because people making comments on YouTube video were like, yep, good old, I'm a big fan of good old Anderson the Silva Silva. Like, they were like, different fighters whose names, if they were saying, but yeah, he said, his middle name or his fight name is Blades because he cuts everybody up.
Why do you watch that show?
Dude, it's the most people suggest the videos on YouTube. It'll be like, and it all like it'll be the shorts, the YouTube shorts. It'll be like, man, Brendan Schaub is retarded. And then that'll be the title of the video. And of course I got to click it, like, see what it says, you know.
Of course you do. You're obligated.
It'll be like, there's no way anyone is this stupid. And it will be like a picture of Brendan Schaub. Like, oh, I got to watch that video. Like, and it's, you know, like, I mean, YouTube knows me too well.
I was going to say, the algorithm has noted your use of Schwab. Right.
But aren't you, aren't you one of these women now, like a woman who only likes, like, terrible guys? You're like, why does she keep going for that guy? He's terrible. Like, when you know it's bad. You know it's not.
If I'm being completely honest, I was trying to get a battle going with him the way someone would call out Conor McGregor to try to up their stock, like Jeremy Stevens or something. So I thought I was going to start a podcast. This is like 2 years ago. So I thought if I start trashing Schaub, he's dumb enough to say something back, and then I'll completely light him up and steal his 400,000 followers, although probably 300,000 of them are bought. But he won't do it. And he even went so far as to ask Matt Mitrione to make peace between us because I just trash him all the time. And he goes, yeah, he goes pretty hard on me. I don't ever say anything back. And Matt's like, yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. He's like, I wouldn't recommend saying anything back. Just keep taking it. You know, or whatever he said, because if you do, he'll really go like nuclear on you and embarrass you real bad. But
I love it. Those are prison rules right there.
Yeah. Then it
just take it. It'll get worse.
What's up, people? Football is back, and BetOnline remains your number one source for all your football betting needs this season. You always find the latest football odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet on your favorite sports and events. Bet Major League Baseball, MMA, tennis, boxing, even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. BetOnline. Where the game starts.
He throws his little stuff in. Like, he was on Rogan's podcast. Somebody sent me the clip where Rogan was saying how funny I was. And he was like, yeah, funny guys. He's still alive or what? Like, right. Shabba, he tried to sound a podcast. So what is he, an Uber driver now? You know, or whatever. Like, always, he always tries to throw little like shots in at me here and there if my name comes up. So plus we were at I think you were there too, that audition, Adam, and he was running his mouth. That's when I really started having a problem with him, when he said something at that audition for that show we were both at. I asked him if he had a problem with or something to say, and stood up, walked over, and he started, just kept looking at his Gucci boots, like staring at him down, didn't have anything else to say, you know, or whatever, because he was trying to talk shit about me while I was trying to concentrate reading for this thing, you know, or whatever. So, but he sucks. But anyway, it's fun. I don't know.
If I watch like a comic, I don't know about you, Greg, but like when I watch a comic and people are laughing and the comic's terrible, I get depressed. You know, like I get mad at, like, I'm like, this is what you guys find funny. I'm not like totally depressed, but I'm like, I just can't watch it. I tune out. Maybe I'll try to think of why the people are laughing. Like, okay, what exactly about it? I'll try to dissect it or break it down. But I just, you know.
Dude, I don't know. You guys know what Kill Tony is, I guess, right? I guess I'm not sure what it is, like some kind of comedy show or something, but they had a guy there the other day that his whole 60-second or minute and a half set was he just went up there and stared and didn't say anything, like, to the audience. He just sat there and stared with the microphone in his hand. And he was kind of a strange-looking guy. Like, I mean, not crazy-looking, just a little bit weird-looking. And they laughed and howled for 90 seconds straight at him not saying anything. And then he put the microphone up and walked off. And I was blown away. So I commented, it's still funnier than anything Schaub ever said. You know, I had to comment, but which everybody loved. But something like that. I mean, I guess it could kind of be funny, but I doubt he's touring the country with that act where you're just going to stand.
That works for 1 minute. You know, that's the exact right. And it's alternative. You know, anytime you do something that they just haven't seen because they've seen everything, they're going to be excited by it. And also, comedians laugh at what's not funny and don't laugh at what is funny. Because there's like this built-in jealousy factor when somebody's actually hitting something good. And then when they're doing something that they're like, oh, I don't have to worry about this ever. Like you said, you can't tour the country with that. They don't have to worry about that guy taking their job. So they can howl away. Because
it's zero the threat funniest to them. Of all of them. And I was like, I don't get it. Like, I kind of get it, but I don't know. Like,
it's really based in whether or not it's something they should be jealous of. It's not. So they'll just howl away at it because – you know, they can build that up because it's crap. You know,
right.
If it's something good, they don't want to build up anything that's actually pretty good because that might make them better than them or bigger than them.
Right.
I mean, to me, it's like sometimes like what's the funniest is like when it's in the, obviously like in the moment, like material's great. I was living in New York 22 years ago. I did a gospel comedy show on Easter Sunday, and it was me, Bill Burr, Rip Michaels. It was at B.B. King's. Remember, B.B. King's had a restaurant in New York.
Yep. I remember.
And there was I forgot who it was, maybe Earthquake or something. Anyway, there was this woman that went up there and sang like Swing Low, this old black woman, Sweet Chariot, you know, the whole swing, you know.
Sure.
Carry Me Home. And she was terrible. But like she was a really bad singer. But it was a black audience, and they were respectful enough. But she was not a good singer. So
I know the most black audiences are very respectful.
It was Easter Sunday, like noon or something. Dude, the comic goes up there. And
I will say, if an evening at the Apollo is to be considered truthful,
So the whole thing of like, you know, carry me home. So the guy goes up there and he goes, the host is like, somebody carry her home. Like, get her out of here.
Nice.
He goes, please. And the fucking place erupted. I mean, people were like on the floor laughing. Anyway, Alonzo Menifield is fighting Misha Sirkinov. That should be a good fight.
Menifield needs to do that thing where like all the rest of his skills need to develop, you know. I mean, the power's there, he's 12-3, but he tends to lose when he's up against a better, more well-rounded fighter.
Yeah,
you know, do you think Sirkinov is that well-rounded fighter? I mean,
they're both fucking monsters. I think whoever lands the bigger punch is gonna win this fight.
Then it should be Menifield. If it comes down to that, it should be Menifield.
And then Nick Maximov, who's Nate Diaz's buddy, he's the guy that like the guy from Full Send, the reporters or something about him, and then Nick slapped him in the face.
Right, yeah.
And this guy's a good wrestler, solid guy. He got caught his last fight, but, you know, he's fighting Jacob Malkoon. That should be a good fight. And then Sam Hughes, who's a little cutie, came to my show. She was a college track star. She's fighting Pierre Rodriguez. And then Mike Jackson's fighting. Remember Mike Jackson, the guy that fought CM Punk?
Yeah.
He's fighting Pete Rodriguez. So that's all going to be this. But basically, the week after in Abu Dhabi, Oliveira, Islam. And I changed my mind. I think Islam wins this fight. Based on, I just don't know, man. I mean, I just think he's got it. I think he got caught, but I think he beats Oliveira. Sean?
Man, I was going with Oliveira because he just keeps surprising me, just keeps getting better and better, it seems like. But some of those Dagestani guys, man, they have a way of making really awesome fighters look very ordinary, you know? So I would probably still say Oliveira, but it's hard to bet against one of them Dagestani guys. Like, especially, what is he, 20-0 or 21-1, something like
22
that?
22-1.
Yeah.
Lost.
He like got caught coming in. He got caught with a big punch.
Yeah.
That was like six fights ago. Aljamain Sterling.
Wait a minute.
Greg, sorry.
I 100% agree with McCorkle. It's tough because every time I bet against Oliveira, he proves me wrong. He goes, every time I'm like, this is the one he loses, and he goes out there and beats him. Every single time. But this guy is a different, and you're right, these guys do the same thing every time. They take you down, and the second they get your legs, you know, caught in their legs, that's it. You can't move your legs. You can't get out, and then that's it. The fight's over. The fight's basically over at that point.
Oliveira's been hurt a lot. He got hurt a lot of his fights, even against Chandler. He gets hurt, comes back against Poirier. He got hurt. Islam doesn't get hurt. He doesn't take any damage.
No, nothing.
So, you know, it's one of those things where it's like you can make mistakes, but you can't make a mistake.
And McCorkle, what is that move called when you sweep your legs so that their legs are caught under your legs, but you have your legs crossed under theirs, like you're on top of them?
Yeah, it's not full mount. It's something that I know. I first noticed Khabib doing it with guys.
Yes.
He
neutralizes them completely with it.
Yeah. Madden might even know what it's called. I think it's a wrestling move, but the whole getting their legs crossed, it's crazy how good Khabib and some of them guys are at it, because if their legs are not crossed, they can actually push back and, you know, regard or whatever. But once you get crossed and locked, there's guys really struggle with that, man. It's there's a couple things could be does that.
Back in wrestling, they were called, it was called double grapevine, but I don't know what it's called in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, it doesn't
look like a grapevine because your legs are under theirs crossed as well. So it's, maybe that's what it's called. Is it the double? But I mean, this guy Makashit, whatever, you know, Islam, he does it exactly the same as Khabib does it.
Yeah,
it's the exact same move, and the second those legs get crossed, you're neutralized. You're just under him now, and he's just taking his time, working you. I mean, the second I see that happen, if there's 3 minutes left in that round or more, the fight's over. The fight's over.
Back in wrestling, they used to call that also. If you had got a guy pinned, they called it Saturday Night Ride. That was the, which is like pretty
sexy.
It's pretty gay. Right? Pretty gay.
Yeah.
There were times I used to go when I wrestled in Maine at prep school. I used to come home to Oceanside and wrestle with the local high school for extra practices during vacations and stuff. And there was just the difference. Like, you saw the difference between a public school and like the guy would teach you to check the guy's oil, which is like to take your finger,
right,
put it up the guy's
put it in the ass.
Yeah. Right. And then, I mean, that was like legitimately, like he like taught us that. I'm like,
so you were supposed to do it with your thumb? Cause I was doing it like this and then making a fist.
Put your thumb.
Was I not supposed to make the fist?
No, thumb. Thumb.
Cause I went like this and then I thought that's what.
To? Who did you do it to?
So the guy that deserved it.
Greg can tell you he went to Catholic school and that's how they teach it there.
Exactly.
So. Then they taught us how – the guy taught us how to choke a guy out with a head and arm. And
so you –
I had to shake him like he's still like not – and then to get the pin and then the guy's laying there flat. Like.
So he mixed in a little Krav Maga.
Jiu-jitsu.
You want to oil check him, then poke his eyes out.
Have you checked to see if the kid you're having trouble with on your wrestling team is a former, like, wrestler of his? Because he may have just come from that coach that you're talking about.
And it was like, and he was fucking some kid's mom, my friend's mom on the team. She was divorced, but like,
hot.
She was still like, yeah. Anyway, yeah. So Aljamain Sterling, Dillashaw.
What a good one! Woo! This is a great card. You know, I complain about these cards quite a bit, about them not like really being worth
every
this is a top heavy good card.
Yes. I like Aljamain in this one. I think he's feeling himself. I think he likes being champion. I think he didn't know he could beat Petr Yan. I think in the back of his head after that first fight, could I beat him? And now he proved to himself he really can beat him, and he did beat him. So I think he's on a different level. Dillashaw, though, is an animal, man, and he's been laying low. You've heard nothing from him. You heard
a good thing?
Sometimes that is a good thing. Sometimes when a guy has no pressure on him and you hear nothing from him.
It's easy to lay low also when you're on a 2-year suspension for steroids. So
that's hard to stay
out of the spotlight.
It sounds like you haven't been fighting. That's what that sounds like. Right. So I don't know.
Sean, what were you saying?
I'd say man, I don't know. I'd like to see Dillashaw win, but guys are never the same. I don't think when guys pop, because he was EPO, I think he got caught with, which is, you know, allegedly doubles your, triples your cardio just on its own. I wish I wasn't afraid of it back in the day. I could have fought a full round then without gassing out, probably, if I would have taken it. But it's usually when guys get caught with that and then they can't, they can't have that advantage anymore. I think it messes with them mentally as much as physically. So I would go Aljamain on this one. I think I don't think Dillashaw will ever be the same again, man. Like, and not just because he can't take it, but it really does throw you. You saw what happened to Overeem when he couldn't take every steroid known to man too, not just to his body, but his fighting went to hell, which you saw he won, right? His kickboxing match the other night.
Yeah. He beat Botter.
Yeah. It's weird. He was real big and muscular again. It's crazy. It's almost like, like a horse meat back in his diet.
Greg,
I love it. Listen, I think Aljamain is everything you said. I agree with. I don't think TJ's been fighting up. He's one of those guys. Like, his record is 18-4, and it seems like he's one of those guys that's like 33-6. You know, like it seems like he's had a lot more fights than that. You know, and I guess it's because of the suspensions and because of the time off, and yeah, not fighting, I don't think is a benefit. I think it's you get rusty, you get ring. I don't know. I don't like it. I think Aljamain wins it. I think he wins it pretty handily.
And then O'Malley versus Yan. This is like
another great fight.
O'Malley has that star potential, star power. I mean, all those young kids, they worship this guy. All anybody who aged like 11 to 17, like he's just their guy. He speaks for that skateboard kid.
Maybe he's their
25, 26. Just that like counterculture dude that like smokes weed and does Twitch and doesn't give a fuck and does everything kind of the wrong way and, you know, and is an open.
You mean he's a bad boy?
Him and his wife have threesomes and just the whole fucking thing, right? He's that guy. Peter Yan's a guy. I think he's from Russia. I don't know what part. Yeah. It's a guy that, you know, he's solid. I mean, he's a fucking solid dude. Even in the fight against Aljamain, some people thought he actually won that fight. The last one.
Yeah.
Oh, so, I don't know about this one.
It was a hell of a fight.
I can't
believe they're giving O'Malley Yan this early because they were kind of milking it, like bring him along slowly and keep it building him, you know. But UFC really likes, I think, to get you beat just every now and then to remind you where your place is. Like, you know what I mean? That anybody can be beat because it always seems like as they start building. I know I probably told you guys that story before, but Roger Huerta back in the day,
yeah,
he's a good looking kid on the cover of Sports Illustrated. They made a deal. I know this because we have the same agent. And maybe my agent told me this, but they had pretty much told Huerta, hey, we're going to build you slow. We're going to give you guys your beat. We're going to, you know, use you to go into the, you know, Latin American market. And then after he was 4-0, having beat four guys that were all their first fight in UFC that were perfect matchups for him, he was like, I'm tired of people saying I haven't fought anybody. We'll fight somebody good. And then Joe Silva was like, are you sure about that? You want to fight somebody good, you know, or whatever? And he made him mad, and they put him in with somebody that whipped his ass. I can't remember who it was, but it was –
Now, do you think O'Malley, because he's got allegedly this is his last fight on his contract, and he might be coming back and being like, I want, you know, $5 million a fight or something?
Crazy. Yeah, that makes way more sense if it's his last fight. Yeah.
They want him to put a loss on him.
Do you think, like, you know what? If it's kind of the thing where if he wins, maybe he's worth it. And if he loses, now his bargaining power goes down. Do you think that might be the case?
Dude, I'll tell you, no one rat out all my agent secrets either, but he told me when I was fighting with UFC, he said, you're going to be far better. He said, you have a 4-fight contract. They're going to renegotiate after the third fight if you're still with them. You're better off to lose your first or second and win your third than to win your first two and lose your third, because coming off a loss, they'll always offer you something lower. You know, for whatever reason, they feel like that gives them leverage. I don't think it matters as much anymore because, guys like Nate Diaz have lost 13 times, you know, and he's still, O'Malley's going to be popular regardless. But I bet he wanted to check his open market value. And I guarantee the UFC was like, okay, well, you want to check your open market value. Let's go ahead and give you the worst matchup, best fighter we can find, you know? So,
but it might blow up in their face if, like, he wins.
Right.
I think it does blow up in their face. Yeah. I think it absolutely, because Peter Yan, he's an amazing fighter, tough as nails. He's 5'7". The other guy's 5'11". And we've seen what happens when they have to face these rangier, longer guys like John Jones and stuff that can just keep you at distance. You can't get to him. Now, Yan is an incredible grappler, and that's what he's going to have to do. He's going to have to – but again, someone that long can get away from you, can stay away from you, and keep you at distance. I don't know. I can see Peter Yan to me should win, but I could see O'Malley winning.
I almost feel like if it was a 5-round fight, it would favor Yan, maybe?
Yan, for sure. I think a 5-rounder would favor Yan. A 3-rounder would probably O'Malley.
But I don't know. I mean, I'm curious because you're right. They kept them away from wrestlers. Yan isn't a traditional wrestler, but he can wrestle. I mean, he wrestled the fuck out of Aljamain that first fight.
Yep.
Great wrestler.
Do you know what the betting odds are? I'm afraid to look because if I look, I'll start gambling again. So, and I haven't for months. So, do you know what the odds say there?
Hold on. Yan is -305 and O'Malley is +255 right now.
All right. Wow. So, they really think Yan's going to win.
They really think Yan's going to take him down and bully him. But I think O'Malley might be able to keep him a distance and make him pay.
Something Greg said that's really true, and a lot of guys don't realize this. One of John Jones, I guess I'm not telling you anything you don't know. John Jones has unbelievable reach for a guy that's 6'4". Like his reach is something like 4 inches longer than mine. And I'm 6'6", 6'7", you know. But the guys that know how to use that length and that range, that's what boxers are so good at it when you box with pro boxers, is that distance and range. But if O'Malley can use it, like, you know, Greg said, if he learns to use that length to be that height and that long of that weight, guys like that are hard to beat, man. Like if the ones that really are able to, you know, stuff takedowns and keep guys at range, man, because you can throw a punch and be a half an inch off and a pro boxer can hit you when you feel like he's 3 feet away. You know, it's crazy how well they control that. But that's
I mean, it's crazy. Though. Like imagine O'Malley pulls like a spinning wheel kick within 3 seconds and knocks him out.
Right.
He'll be the UFC. He'll be the number one guy in the UFC. Like it will just, he will catapult so fast. But if he gets knocked the fuck out, like if, you know, cause Jan's got a chin too. I'm curious. I'm really curious. And I don't know where I'm going to be in this card.
The reason I think Jan probably ultimately will win is because O'Malley is the kind of guy who will make a mistake.
Oh yeah.
He's the kind of guy who, and against Jan, you only got to make one.
But I'm telling you, I watched him train about 3 years ago. I went down to, he was at the lab in Arizona. I watched him spar exactly like he fights. Hands down, chin up. Like, he's a hard guy to deal with because you just don't get that many guys that can do what he does.
Yeah.
You can't throw in guys that do like fucking 360 wheel kicks off with their hands down. It's hard to find guys like that. And Peter Yan is a pretty traditional fighter. You could find Peter Yan's in your gym or guys that can emulate Peter Yan. Obviously not as good as Peter Yan. It's hard to find the Wonder Boys, the Machidas, the O'Malleys, the MVPs, those guys. It's hard to find those guys because you just can't, you know.
Yeah, you gotta find someone very long and rangy that can. You know, that you can learn to fight against that distance. And that, I'm sure he's gotten somebody that's long in there, even if the weight wasn't right.
Sean, what are you saying?
Just saying, yeah, I would like to see him. I don't know that it'll happen, but I would like to see him get a rematch against the Chito Vera guy because I really think he beats him in a rematch. I think he was genuinely hurt, you know, when he, whatever he did. Though, I mean, it's still a lot. Loss is a loss. You got hurt during the fight. But, yeah, that's one. Not surprised if it's his last fight that they're not making that. But I thought they would if he was under contract, I'm sure they would make that one at some point to erase that loss on his record because I think he's the far better fight. I just don't think Chito Vera is very good, man. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
Come on, really?
Every time I watch him fight, I'm like, I cannot believe this guy's winning. Like, I don't know. I'm with you too,
but you know, I'm that way about Charles Oliveira, and it's right. Like, yeah. He proves me wrong every time, and I'm like, I guess I'm wrong.
Dude, I was the same way about Volkanovski, the 135-pound champ. I bet against him. Yeah, eight times in a row.
Absolutely. He's another guy.
This guy is not any good. I can't believe he won again. This guy sucks, and he just kept beating everybody. I was like,
dude, Sam Alvey, before he lost 8 in a row, beat a lot of good guys. That I was like, how is this happening? Because
you cannot bring Sam Alvey into this conversation.
Yes, I can. Dude.
Because he doesn't prove us wrong. He proves us right every episode.
Hold on. I will tell you, Smiling Sam, the guys he beat, he's got a record of 33-18.
I want you to start from the most recent and work your way back one at a time.
No, because he lost 8 in a row. So I'm not.
Thank you.
But he beat he beat Rashad Evans. He beat Nate Marquardt. He beat Gian Vellante. He beat Alex Nicholson. He beat Kevin Casey. He beat Daniel Kelly. I mean, he beat Gerald Meerschaert. I mean, these are good guys. He's not.
Named two dudes that I gave a shit about.
Come on. I mean, those are good guys. Rashad Evans. I mean, yeah, Rashad was past his prime, but still. Rashad Evans.
Has he lost 8 in a row in the UFC, or has he come back?
Yeah, he lost 8 in a row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 in a row in the
UFC. Okay, there's got to be an explanation because I lost 2 in a row and I was out. Like, they were done. Like, don't. And won 6 in a row after that. They're like, nope, not interested in bringing you back, like, whatever. But I've won 6 in a row all the first round. Like, nope, not interested. But.
Well, he was like a booty call. He was like a booty call where, like, you needed someone to fight on, like, 3 days' notice. Like, you
right, and that was the thing. He also, you know, again, he just strangely became kind of a name, you know, Smiling Sam Alvey. Like, people – and name value becomes worth something to them. If it's a bunch of no-names versus this guy we've at least heard of, they're going to throw the guy they've heard of.
They're like, we need someone to lose on 4 days' notice. Who can we get?
Smiling Sam's available.
But his TikTok's amazing, by the way, which I don't know. He has 6 kids. So I don't know why he's doing TikToks all day, but he's good on TikTok.
I think you just explained why he's doing TikTok all day.
He adopted like three of them, Alvy. He's a good dude, man. A good
man. I had a great joke, and I'm not going to say it. I'll tell you guys later.
Listen, if you, oh my God,
his wife was.
Oh my God. Yeah. What I cannot wait. Can we just end the podcast now so I can hear the show? Because if it's something that he will not say on the podcast, this has got to be an all-time low. So I just, can we cut it? We'll cut it out if it's that bad. How about that?
Yeah, cut it out if it's really bad. But when it was along the lines of when Adam said he had six kids, I was going to say he would have had 14, but he lost eight in a row. Like his wife.
That's a good joke. He would laugh at that.
He would laugh unless she's had miscarriages. Then he probably wouldn't laugh about it.
I don't think she's having any miscarriages. She has six kids. By the way, his wife was on Top Model, also a redhead, but was his coach. So I don't know if that's the best coach you want to get. I know Henderson also was his coach, but he also.
What does her being redheaded have to do with not being a good coach?
Did they have a redheaded coach? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying no. His wife had red hair, was on America's Next Top Model, like placed like four, like beautiful, but was also his coach for some reason. But I guess she was a good coach. He was winning with her in the corner. But yeah, that was one of his coaches. Was
hot.
Gosh, now you guys got me regretting that I hadn't made that joke. Oh well.
No, it's a good joke.
It was a funny joke, unless she lost eight in a row. That was great.
I was gonna say, she should have 14, but she lost, had eight miscarriages in a row.
There's a whole slew of like female pretty comedians on TikTok.
Yeah.
And every joke is like abortion, I'm a whore, abortion, like miscarriage, like, oh my God. It's like, it's a go-to. Anyway, so Tyron Woodley praises Anderson Silva, but warns anybody underestimating Jake Paul. He's got knockout power. But yeah, I mean,
anybody would know it's Tyron Woodley.
Yes, and that power is the power of the pen to write a check. For $1 million.
Yeah, I hate to tell you guys this, but I have a premonition. I think Anderson Silva is going to get knocked out, man. Like, I really do. Fake or real, I think he's going to lose. And it's going to – if he beats Anderson Silva, I'm telling you, man, it's I'm going to be on Greg's team on that. Then.
Get ready for a smiling Anderson Silva standing from the mat, standing up from the mat like, did I get knocked out? Are my kids all going to college? Great.
Yeah.
So Daniel Cormier last week was in WWE Raw. He was a referee for the Matt Riddle match.
of course.
It's like you're speaking a different language right now. Was that Spanish? Was that French? What was that?
So that really happened. And then
I wonder if he was as bad as his job as a WWE ref as he is commentating. Like, that was like, I don't know, like which one, like, because you know, like WWE refs, is there anyone worse at their job? They miss everything, man. Like, if you think about it, like, they're constantly being fooled by the same things. Over somebody points to something in the crowd, they turn, they throw a salt in someone's eyes, there's a cloud of dust, and the ref has no idea what's going on. Like, wait, what? Like,
the best was, you remember the one, I think I was like 9 when it came out, or 8, and the ref was like horrible. And then it turned out that his twin brother was like held captive, like the rat, the guy.
I know who it was too.
Is that the one where like the ref would have been good, but it wasn't really him; it was his twin brother, and the real ref was tied up.
Oh my God, that's a hell of a story. That's unreal.
Vince McMahon is a genius, man. That dude, I still can't get over. I couldn't believe when Adam showed me I think he talked about on here when the Big Boss Man took the Big Show's dad for a ride, like his coffin for a ride at his funeral, like dragging it around or whatever. I couldn't believe I had never seen that. I was like, I cannot believe I've never seen this clip. Like, it's a WWE. Vince McMahon is so awesome, man. Like, he's amazing.
And listen, I'll give them style points. That's all. Yeah. Incredible style points.
Dude, they have like
it just. Let's not pretend it's legitimate sports.
Dude, my TikTok is all like 80s wrestlers gone wrong or something, or like it's all like the worst part of. Dude, there was a guy they had that like characters that never made it. It was like after 9/11,
they had some guy that was like basically like the terrorist was his gimmick, and he came out with like five guys.
There was a comedian that used to do that.
It was like, you know, like five guys with like bags on their head that came out and like beheaded people. It was like a finishing move.
Oh my god! See, and times change, guys. You know, but back then,
and then it happened literally the minute that, like, remember, like there was an explosion in London, like it was a huge terrorist attack. It was like. That happened like while the guy was in the ring doing that. Right. Like, it was like the worst fucking timing. Like,
well, I'm not gonna say he had it coming, but he had it coming.
Dude, that.
Did you guys ever see where Matt Riddle apparently made Bill Goldberg mad somehow? And Bill Goldberg, someone filmed it backstage legitimately, and he was like, "Yeah, we need to have a talk later." Matt Riddle's like, "Okay." And he's like, and Goldberg thinks he's intimidating him. And Riddle, like, isn't afraid at all. Like, none. Riddle would whip Bill Goldberg's ass in a real fight. And he's like, yeah, we're going to have a talk. He keeps saying, all right, just let me know when, dude. Like, you know, or whatever. Like, you can tell, like, it doesn't. I've ran into Bill Goldberg. I actually met Bill Goldberg a couple different times, one time in an elevator. And he said, sorry, man, no pictures tonight. Like, I didn't ask him for a picture. I didn't want a picture. I was like, oh, it's Bill Goldberg. I didn't say anything. And it was me and one of my friends. He goes, hey, sorry, no pictures tonight, guys. And I was like, oh, cool. You not have your camera with you? Like he wanted one with me, you know?
Oh, and then God.
the other time was at Affliction, the very first Affliction show. I don't remember who it was. Somebody was trying to let me in the VIP thing. I'm standing there, and Bill Goldberg is walking through, cutting the line from everybody, trying to go up in front. And, at the time, his tagline was, who's next or you're next. He would say it all the time or whatever, you know? And, so he comes up, he's like, excuse me, big guy or whatever. I said, nah, man, I'm good. Like, I wouldn't like letting him cut me or whatever. He goes, well, I got to get in here. I said, oh, I didn't realize that you're next. Like, said it like to him or whatever. And he goes, yeah, I got to get in. And I was like, you know, you're Bill Goldberg though. Like, you get it? And he was like, yeah, cool. Like, he had no idea what I was, like, he had no idea what I was talking about, but I thought it was.
How many times does McCorkle have to explain that he's joking? Yeah.
Of course.
And I don't think it's not that it isn't that you're funny or what you're saying isn't obviously a joke. It's you're a giant dude. People are like, is he kidding? Please let him be joking. Because he can actually do
wedding,
this.
At my wedding, fucking Scott Baio walked by and he goes, sorry, Chachi, didn't know you were in charge or something. And then
I was arguing with my girlfriend and he looked concerned. I said, Charles, can you help us out a little bit? And he had no idea what it meant. Like, he looked at me like, what? I was like, you know, because you're never mind. But it was
classic McCorkle.
That stopped the argument. On the spot when she did that. But that
Mario
was,
Lopez is like that. Mario Lopez, everyone's like when I used to go to Wildcard, everyone's like, whatever you do, don't spar on Mario Lopez because he'll try to knock you out. And he's a good boxer, a really good boxer. So I'm like, he goes to the people and they're like on their first date, he's like, hey man, you want to spar? And people are like, oh shit, it's Mario Lopez. And then he'll go a little harder and then try to like. So Freddie Roach is like, don't spar that guy. And I was like, as I'm signing up, right? So of course he goes, hey man, you want to spar? And I was like, nah, I'm all right. I just started boxing. I was like, I'll wrestle you, right? If you want to wrestle. And then he's like, oh yeah, were you any good? And I was like, well, I won states in high school. He's like, oh, what state? I was like, oh, I won New England. He goes, New England's not a state. Like, I'm like, I know, you're right. New England's not a state. But I'm explaining that. Like, so he goes, yeah, you know, I was a wrestler too. I go, yeah, I remember when Zach beat the girl.
Oh my god.
He goes, what? I go, you remember you beat Zach, the girl beat Zach, and then you had to wrestle the girl, and it was embarrassing, and there was like a big dance off. He just fucking walked away so confused.
Oh, that's crazy. I said to Tommy Lee at I think it was UFC 199, I want to say Tommy Lee was in the VIP backstage area. And I said, dude, I've got to tell you, I'm a huge fan. Your performance of The Fugitive was amazing. And he was just like, sweet, dude. Like, had no idea what I'm talking about. Like, he's like, you know, Tommy Lee Jones, you know, or whatever. Like, he was, he's like, sweet, dude, cool. Like, sitting there, I was like, he didn't get it at all. Like,
it just crossed through his mind. He's like, I'm not spending time on this. He doesn't have tits.
Dude, right. I remember I used to go with Wildcard back when Rogan was going to fight Wesley Snipes. Remember that was going to happen?
Yeah, supposedly.
All shit about each other. So I asked Freddie who would win because he held the pads for Wesley Snipes. And Freddie was like, Rogan is going to kill him. Wesley's not very good. And then Mario was like, tell Rogan I want the winner. I'm like, I could have been like the biggest promoter.
Who do you think would have won in a fight? Lopez or Rogan?
How big is Lopez? I don't know how big he is.
Like 170.
How tall?
He's probably 5'9". Rogan's what?
Oh, he's 6 inches taller than Joe. So there it is. I'm just teasing.
No. But, yeah. I mean, Matt,
I would sure hope Rogan.
Are we talking about a boxing match or an MMA match?
An MMA match. Mixed
martial arts. Rogan.
Yeah, I mean, well, Mario's got the wrestling and he's got the boxing, and Rogan's got jiu-jitsu and the Muay Thai and the kickboxing. So it's probably pretty, I mean, it's a pretty decent fight, I think. I don't know. My first suggestion would be Rogan all the way, but Mario spars like 5 days a week. Victor Ortiz was telling me he sparred with Mario. Mario was like fucking him up in the beginning, and then Victor got him back. But like, he was like, dude,
I'm shocked that he's good at boxing. He doesn't seem like Mario Lopez doesn't seem to me like a guy that would be good at boxing. Like,
and can I just say that this hypothetical match is still more legitimate than all of Jake Paul's actual matches.
Sean Brady is fighting Bilal Muhammad on the undercard. First, Beneil Dariush is fighting Gamrot. Dariush is a good guy.
Oh, wait, we're back to fights. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So this whole card. Dariush, by the way, I one time I asked him, how was your vacation? He was building churches for people in third world countries and not even telling anyone. Like, he's just a good dude. He's fighting Matheus Gamrot.
That'd be hilarious if that were just a euphemism, like in The Departed or whatever, when he was saying, yeah, I paint houses. You know, and it means that he murders people. Oh yeah, I build churches. You know,
so this guy Gamrot has a tattoo that says "Body Chief" on his chest. I don't know why, but he's taking. He's 21-1. He beat Jeremy Stevens, knocked out Scott Holtzman, beat Diego Ferreira, knocked him out, beat Armand Sarukian. This is going to be a good fight. And then Sean Brady, Bilal Muhammad, that's a great fight. Krylov's fight, taking on Oldemir. This card goes deep.
I like Bilal Muhammad in that one.
Against Sean Brady?
Yeah.
Brady is 15-0. He's a monster. He beat one of the best jiu-jitsu guys in the world in jiu-jitsu. He's coming off a win over Michael Chiesa, beat Jake Matthews.
The O's got to go sometime. I think he runs into a wall with Bilal Muhammad. I like that guy.
I can't picture Sean Brady. I'm trying to think who he is. How I've missed out on who
he has a butt chin. He's married to Giselle.
Not anymore.
I'm kidding.
Not anymore.
Well, you know, it's a pretty strong statement when you retire, and then you're like, you know what? I'm going back to football.
Yeah. That's gonna be good. Now, what did you think, by the way, about the guy, the basketball player who punched the other guy, who's now Draymond Green?
Draymond Green.
Oh yeah, boy, he punched him good too. That wasn't a slap. I mean, he straight cold cock. And that's the other thing. It was a cold cock. That guy. It's not like they squared up. It's not like they both agreed to fight. He came over, got in his face. And it's like you're professional athletes on the same team. You don't expect him just to return with a fucking right to the chops fucking shot.
The guy did push him first, though.
Yeah, he pushed him. But I mean, he pushed him to get away from him because he come up right in his face. That's what happens next. You push him back. You're on a team, though, where your teammates, the next shouldn't. Now you're in a bar. You should know that's what's coming next.
Sean.
But you're at practice. Basketball practice with your teammate, you don't expect that to be the next thing.
Yeah, it didn't look like a sucker punch to me necessarily, but it was definitely overkill. I think the problem with I played basketball in college. I played with a lot of guys. The problem is almost all of them thought they were tough or talked a big game like they were tough, and it's like almost you see in the NBA, they'll almost never actually fight. So when you run into somebody that will, they're so shocked, like they're not ready. Like Jerry Stackhouse, if you look up his fights, like he's getting fights in games all the time. He's got went to North Carolina, played for the Sixers.
Stackhouse. Yeah.
But he would like if someone said something to him or pushed him in an NBA game, he would just blast him in the face. Like he wasn't joking. Like he was that guy, you know, or whatever. But too many, it's like soccer players, man. Too many of them guys get used to feeling safe, you know, like they know they're going to get basketball players, know they're going to get broken up. But he didn't. I mean, that was a nasty punch. He could have really done some damage to that. I don't know hurt Poole is, but that was it was ugly, man. That he was definitely out when he got
people
hit.
People don't realize that you punch a guy the wrong way, the guy falls and breaks his neck or dies.
Yeah.
Fucking hospital, and it's oh, I mean, this guy's a 250-pound fucking
right.
Monster, you know,
yeah, pro athlete that big, and the guy doesn't expect it, isn't used to getting hit, or doesn't know it's coming. It could be,
yeah, hands are down. Be, yeah. He wasn't in a defense. It was again, they didn't square up like let's scrap. He shoved him, and then he bam, and it's like whoa, hey. I mean, it was. I think it's. I mean, obviously, it surprised the shit out of Poole. I just don't think. You know, people have been talking about what is the relationship reparable. It's one thing if the video didn't get out.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
Then you could be like, no one else saw it. Let's just play basketball. Let's just be business. You know, we'll do business together. But the video is out. And I don't know how you can go out there and act like you're all chummy with this dude knowing everybody there saw him punch you in the fucking face.
Well, he's going to hear about it, too. Yeah. During games, I guarantee you players are going to be saying to him, like, hey, don't get knocked out, you know what I mean, or whatever. Like,
yeah, exactly.
He'll never hear the end of that. He'll never
exactly.
Hear
the end of that. Yeah, don't make me Draymond you. Your own boy got you. Yeah. I'll get you, too.
But did he get knocked out, or he just fell down? I don't think he got knocked out cold.
I don't know if he got knocked out cold, but he got knocked down, and, I mean, he was – I'm sure he didn't get right back up.
Yeah, he for sure. He probably didn't know where he was for an hour or two after. That was a.
Yeah,
that was
a, if I were Jordan Poole, I would force a trade of one of them. One of them's got to go. And the league really should have stepped in again because the video got out.
Yeah.
Because everybody saw it. You can't just let him get away with that. People already have a problem with Draymond being an irritant. Now he's allowed to just punch people in the fucking face.
Right.
So what do you got coming up, Greg?
This weekend, I'll be at JP's Comedy Club down in Gilbert, right outside of Phoenix, Arizona. So please, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights, please come out and see me. Thursday, one show, and I think two shows on both Friday and Saturday. Then later this month, I'll be at Laughs at Tucson. Let me bring up the calendar so I can see what the actual dates are. But yeah, I think that's... so we're at 30, 40, 15. Then yeah, then 28, 29, Laughs in Tucson, and then 4, 5, 3, 4, 5, and 6. I'll be back at TK's in Dallas. I'll be coming home for that one. And then in the middle of November, the 7th through the 12th, I believe it is, I will be 14th through the 20th, I'll be back in Vegas at the LA Comedy Club. So come out and see me. Vegas, Phoenix, Dallas, Tucson. Come out,
Sean.
I will be traveling as much as you and Greg, but not making any money doing it. So I'm going to two different weddings. I'm going to one in San Diego, one in Houston. I got to go to Germany after that. So it's, yeah, going to cost me a bunch of money. And at least I get to go to a couple of weddings while I'm gone. But nice. Yeah, it's yeah. So I'm traveling all over the place, but not making a dime doing it, actually spending money. So
I'm doing the Skank Fest this.
Oh, nice.
This Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the Skank Fest in Las Vegas. And then next week.
Isn't some of it going to be at the LA Comedy Club?
No, it's all on like Fremont Street. And like.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought they had one or two shows going on over there, too.
Maybe.
I really want to know what the Skank Fest is, but I'm afraid my girlfriend will see my internet search history and see Las Vegas Skank Fest.
It's a big comedy festival produced by the guys who have Legion of Skanks.
Luis Gomez. Yeah,
I thought it was going to be prostitution based or something like the Skank Fest in LA or Las Vegas. I thought it was going to be something really
great. Guy, and they got guys like Big J's on a bunch of shows, Dave Smith, yeah. Shane Gillis, Dan Soder.
Well, that's they've got a whole crew, that's their crew for sure.
Oh, Eddie Pepitone, a lot of Robert Kelly, a lot of good comics.
Luis Gomez, there's a guy that's a huge Schaub fan, so. If you ever watch any of his stuff, he loves him.
Okay. Does he really, or are you being facetious?
No, he trashes Shaw more than I do. So he's
I was like, this is one of those moments where you're looking at him like, I think he's kidding.
And then next week I'll be at the Laugh Factory in Reno at the Silver Legacy Casino. And then in
Fairbanks. Oof, that's a long week.
No, it's only Thursday to Sunday.
Oh, that's good. That's better.
And then at the fair, I'm in Fairbanks, Alaska, November 11th. And then,
oh, fun.
And then in Austin, Minnesota, 17th and 18th. And then the LA Comedy Club in December. Well, thank you guys so much. Hope you guys have a great week. You guys.
Good to see you guys. Everybody have a great weekend.
Take care. Yeah.